And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet.
Well, there's that. Okay.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. I got the feeling that something ain't right.
No, it is not.
I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair.
A little
and
scared.
I'm wondering how I'll get down the stairs. Clowns to the left of me, jokers to the right. Here I am, stuck in the middle with you.
Yep.
Yes, I'm stuck.
From Pacifica Radio in Los Angeles, this is The Bradcast, as heard on KPFK 90.7 FM in L.A., in Santa Barbara on 98.7 FM, 93.7 FM in San Diego, 99.5 FM in Ridgecrest and China Lake, up in Oregon on 91.7 FM, KYAQ on the Central Coast, 106.7 FM, Queso in Cottage Grove, in Lancaster, Pennsylvania on 93 FM, WLRI, in Hawaii on 88.5 FM, KAKU, the voice of Maui. In Columbus, Ohio on WGRN, 94.1 FM. In Minneapolis, St. Paul on AM 950, KTNF, the progressive voice of Minnesota. And yes, coast to coast and around the globe. Streaming on the Progressive Voices channel, Netroots Radio, Indie Media Weekly, FYI Nation, Radio or Not, Radio Free Brooklyn, GDPR, Revolution 99, Detour Talk, Radio Monterey, and Radio Sputnik, 5 days a week, blanketing planet Earth. I am Brad Friedman. Your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, and muckraker, and all-around swell fellow, says me, from bradblog.com. Thank you for joining us for another thrilling, action-packed adventure. We are live today from the beautiful KPFK studios somewhere in Los Angeles or North Hollywood. I never know. I'll have to ask my driver next time we come. My thanks to those who supported KPFK and the mission of Pacifica Radio over our most recent fund drive. It is good to be back, and I am grateful to all of those of you who support the work that the good folks here at KPFK do. So anything going on lately that you might want to talk about today? Is there anything in the news, Desi Doyen, anything you see out there?
No, kind of pretty, a pretty slow, quiet day.
It has been another few extraordinary weeks, if you haven't noticed. And we've had some very lively shows over those past many days and weeks. You can download them all at bradblog.com, of course, if you missed any, or at the KPFK audio archives for my SoCal peeps. But during the fun drive here at our flagship station in LA, I have not been able to open up the phones to my peeps in Southern California during all of this. So we're going to do it today. 818-985-5735 is our phone number. 818-985-KPFK. In case there's anything going on in the news that is of interest to you, if you have any thoughts or comments or questions or primal screams, feel free to share them with us. Also, we will be sharing with you Desi Doyen and the Green News Report with our Republican National Convention wrap. We're still on that beat.
Yes,
it seems.
Well, you know, it's important to let people know what actually happened. Plus, a nice little fact check.
Some facts would be nice to be checked from that convention and from the current one. And of course, we are being walloped by a deadly heat wave across the entire nation in yet a record hot month. They keep coming one after another after another. All right. Well, with that out of the way, it is now official. The first major American political party has now officially nominated a woman to be its presidential candidate, as the Democrats have now officially selected during their national convention on Tuesday night in Philly to nominate Hillary Clinton as the Democratic nominee for President of the United States. It happened officially just minutes after we went off the air following yesterday's broadcast. But as the roll call of the state delegates completed at the Wells Fargo Arena, Hillary Clinton received 2,842 electoral votes to Sanders, 1,865. And then the senator from Vermont, the last state to cast its votes in the roll call, stood with his state's delegation and asked that his formal rival, his former rival, Hillary Clinton, be declared the Democratic nominee by acclamation.
Madam Chair, I move that the convention suspend the procedural rules. I move that all votes cast by delegates, be reflected in the official record. And I move that Hillary Clinton be selected as the nominee of the Democratic Party for President of the United States.
So there you have it. Nobody knew until the last minute if he, in fact, would do that. Bernie Sanders calling for the nomination by acclamation of Hillary Clinton. For good or bad, the first female nominee for president from one of the two major American political parties, because, of course, the Green Party and the others who have nominated women for years, apparently they don't count all that much in the American political system these days, it seems. There were a few Sanders delegates who walked out of the proceedings. At the end of the roll call, several dozen Sanders folks marched into the press tent outside the arena to try to bring attention to their disappointment. Though many said they were likely to return to the convention floor later, some continued to argue that the election had been stolen for Hillary Clinton by the DNC. And again, as someone who has very closely followed and reported on election fraud for more than a decade on the broadcast at bradblog.com, perhaps more than anyone else in the entire country, I got to repeat again. I have seen no evidence, at least not yet, and I've tried to look at all of it to support the allegation that Hillary Clinton or the DNC stole the primary election for Hillary. Sorry, I call them as I see them, and as independently verifiable evidence demonstrates, whether you or I or anybody else may care for that evidence or not, and I continue to look at that evidence. So things can change, and that's fine, but that's where we are now. Just to be clear, among the speakers that went on to make the case for Hillary Clinton thereafter and against Donald Trump on day two of the convention was the remarkably healthy looking 91-year-old former President Jimmy Carter, speaking via a pre-taped video announcement. President Carter, who says he has beaten the brain cancer that seemed so likely to kill him, frankly, just about a year or so ago, described the perilous times in which we live and offered his belief that the Democratic Party will come together to elect Hillary Clinton as the next president.
40 years ago, in our nation's bicentennial year, I stood before you to accept your nomination as president. Rosa and I wish we could be there with you again tonight to prepare for what will be an extremely important election, one that will define for a generation who we are as a nation and as a people. We Americans have a clear choice before us. I feel proud that the two Democratic candidates who competed throughout a long primary season, Senator Bernie Sanders and Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, comported themselves with dignity, talked about issues that matter, and presented a vision for our nation. And I thank Senator Sanders for energizing and bringing so many young people into the electoral process. To all of you young Americans, I say, stay engaged, stay involved, and be sure to vote this November. At a moment when it's become more important than ever to lift people up, to offer hope and a roadmap to a brighter future, instead we see a Republican presidential candidate who seems to violate some of the most important moral and ethical principles on which our nation was founded. We can and must do better. And fortunately, the Democratic nominee we will soon be choosing offers a stark contrast in both substance and style, and also competence and experience to what the Republicans have chosen. These are perilous times. We need someone with a strong heart, a deep understanding of the issues, challenges, and opportunities, and a steady hand. Hillary Clinton has my support. I know she will also have yours. A united Democratic Party will prevail in November. Thank you all, and God bless the United States of America.
That was Jimmy Carter at the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. But will the Democratic Party be united? And, oh yeah, will they prevail in November, as the former president says? Well, will there be enough unity, frankly, to even overcome the threat to the nation that I see as Donald Trump and the threat to the long, hard-fought rights of its people, the Constitution on which it theoretically still stands, not to mention the threat to the world and the planet itself. I'm not quite as certain as the former president may be there. Meanwhile, the party has come together at least a great deal over the past several days at the convention, at least compared to where they were when the convention began on Monday with the resignation of party chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz amidst the release of hacked DNC emails, revealing, frankly, little more than we already knew. That the party insiders supported Hillary Clinton. No, the hacked emails do not reveal that the party stole the election for Hillary Clinton, as too many Sanders supporters still, frankly, irresponsibly misrepresent. In any event, the incoming interim DNC chair, longtime party stalwart Donna Brazile, promised to clean things up at the DNC after the various controversies over the past year, vowing to Americans that she would help make them proud of the party again.
As your incoming chair of the Democratic National Committee, I promise you, my friends, I commit to all Americans that we will have a party that you can be proud of. We will elect Democrats up and down the ballot, and we will celebrate together the inauguration of President Hillary Clinton in January 2017. God bless you and God bless America.
Party that American could be proud of. Well, we will see. That was Donna Brazile, the new interim chair of the DNC. I quickly mentioned yesterday on the broadcast during my interview with the nation's John Nichols, who was from the convention. And you should listen to it, by the way, if you missed it, over at bradblog.com. As far as where the Sanders supporters are right now, at least the supporters at the convention. And the rise of this new crop of progressive candidates who are running for office all over the country, supporters of Sanders, who are trying to bring that message to the state and local level, where it really needs to start. As I mentioned yesterday, Donna Brazile and I, we've got a pretty long history that with a rocky start that began more than a decade ago after the 2004 presidential election. But over the years since then, I've actually come to like her, respect her. Most importantly, she is a voting rights champion, as well as I have found her anyway to be a fairly straight shooter. So we'll see. She was named just a few days ago the head of the DNC. I can tell you that I've had a number of quick email conversations back and forth with her during those hours. She is hoping to bring in more Sanders supporters to the ranks of the party leadership, including to fill her old job as vice chair for civic engagement and voter participation. She's looking for Sanders supporters to bring into the party. So as ever, I remain both hopeful but always skeptical there. We'll see. But the pressure that the Sanders supporters have brought here to bear to push out Debbie Wasserman Schultz has, I think, paid dividends within the party, as I see it. So along with the Sanders folks, who also succeeded in a mighty battle to help push the party platform at least towards the progressive left for the first time in years, much farther towards the progressive left than it has been in generations, to be frank, or perhaps even ever, as the Sanders team has declared. Good work. Good work. Keep it up. Well, the night continued. There was a testimony from Bill Clinton, who turns out he likes her, I guess. That's what he seemed to indicate in his lengthy 41-minute address describing how he met Hillary Rodham back in 1971. He skipped a few years of their history together for some reason, but otherwise sang her praises and made the case for his wife as someone who has been a positive change maker as in the public sector, as an activist, an attorney, first lady, senator, secretary of state for decades.
This is a really important point for you to take out of this convention. If you believe in making change from the bottom up, if you believe the measure of change is how many people's lives are better, you know it's hard and some people think it's boring. Speeches like this are fun. Actually doing the work is hard. So people say, well, we need to change. She's been around a long time. She sure has. And she's sure been worth every single year she's put into making people's lives better.
So on one point, I will say he is right. Change does come from the bottom up. It rarely ever happens at the top of the presidential ticket, to be frank, but rather from the grassroots and the activist levels up through the local and state and congressional levels, eventually to the presidential level. So there is that. And at the end of the night, at the end of the festivities and at the end of a performance by singer Alicia Keys, the giant video screen above the stage offered the faces of each of our American presidents over the years, one man after another, before all 44 of them were shown at once, only to have that graphic shattered to reveal a live shot of Hillary Clinton in upstate New York in a surprise appearance with some quick remarks to the convention crowd.
Hello, Philadelphia. I am so happy. It's been a great day and night. What an incredible honor that you have given me. And I can't believe we just put the biggest crack in that glass ceiling yet. Thanks to you and to everyone who's fought so hard to make this possible. This is really your victory. This is really your night. And if there are any little girls out there who stayed up late to watch, let me just say, I may become the first woman president, but one of you is next. Thank you all. I can't wait to join you in Philadelphia. Thank you.
So that's kind of what happened on day two at the Democratic National Convention, unless you missed it, or if you missed it, history was in fact made. Meanwhile, on the day after Clinton's nomination, Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump held one of his trademark kind of crazy about 75-minute press conferences in which he was asked about the hack of those DNC emails. Democrats have claimed that it was carried out by Russian intelligence agencies. Russia has strongly denied that, naturally. Trump did not condemn the hack, no matter who did it, but rather he offered remarks about emails from Hillary Clinton, while Secretary of State, said to have been personal, non-related, non-work-related emails that were deleted from her personal server, about 33,000 of them. He referenced those, and as he explained, he wants Russia to hack and release those emails written by Hillary Clinton when she was Secretary of State.
You see, I will tell you this. Russia, if you're listening, I hope you're able to find the 30,000 emails that are missing. I think you will probably be rewarded mightily by our press. Let's see if that happens. That'll be next. Yes, sir.
So there's Donald Trump, the nominee for president of the United States for the Republican Party, asking a foreign country to please. Now, mind you, he regards those emails from Hillary Clinton, those 33,000 emails, as classified information. So he's asking a foreign nation to somehow hack into an email server and release classified information to the public. Now, whatever you may think of Russia and the claims against them in this matter and the villainization, the vilification of Russia, never set that aside for now. If he had asked a friend, if he had asked Israel, if he had asked Germany, UK, France, can you please hack U.S. email from a Secretary of State and release it to the media, to the public? He's since changed that to give it to the FBI. That is just incredible to me. No, that is not politics as usual. No, that is not normal. This is not just another Republican running for president. Sorry. And it kind of seems like it should be disturbing to anyone who hears that. Now, yes, I know America interferes with a lot of elections, ourselves, in other countries, but that's not my point. My point is you have a presidential nominee asking another nation to hack into our own emails and release those emails to the public. Really? This is not normal. This is not a normal year. So with all of that and all of the folks treating Trump like, oh, he's just a cartoon figure. He's just funny. He's crazy. He's a little ridiculous, but he could never win. Did you see what he said today? It's just, you know, here's what he tweeted. Well, we have been reporting on this program day in and day out that Trump has been rising steadily in both the national and the battleground state polls. He is now, if you haven't noticed, he is now tied with Hillary Clinton nationally. He's actually leading her in a number of the polls. But here's a fun fact. If the election were held today, according to the brand new updated projections released today at the data site 538.com, as of today, if the election were held today, there is a 44.7% likelihood that Hillary Clinton will win the presidency, and a 55.3% probability that Donald Trump becomes the next president of the United States. 55% probability that Donald Trump will become the next president of the United States compared to 45% for Hillary Clinton. That, at least, is according to the... That's not a poll. That's not opinions. This is based on 538's aggregation of all kinds of information, including state and national polls. They explain they use every piece of available data, and they simulated the election 20,000 times using that information. And that produces a distribution of various possible outcomes for each state. And they find that Hillary Clinton is about 10% more likely to win the president. I'm sorry, Donald Trump is about 10% more likely to win the presidency than Hillary Clinton. Are you concerned yet? Maybe not. I don't know. Give me a call. 818-985-5735. 818-985-KPFK. Love to hear from Sanders, primary supporters. Did Bernie's endorsement and support for Hillary against Trump change your mind to vote for her, as he's asking you to do? If so, I'd love to hear from Sanders folks who have switched to Hillary. If not, why not? And if not, what would it take from Hillary for her to win your vote between now and November, which is about 100 days away? Let me know. Why are you not moved, even by the pleas of your own candidates, Bernie Sanders supporters, if that's the case? Hillary Clinton supporters, do you think she'll beat Trump? If so, what makes you so sure? Why are you so confident in that? Trump supporters, I'll listen to you too. I just got a note here, WTF for Trump supporters. Why are you supporting him? Jill Stein of the Green Party, Gary Johnson, Libertarian Party, those supporters of those candidates, I'd love to hear from you, too, because we here in California, it's a so-called safe blue state, so the consequences for voting one's conscience are much less than elsewhere. But if you lived in a closely divided battleground state, and if your vote might lead to the candidate you hate even more winning the presidency, would you still cast that vote? Why? Give me a call. We're going to take a quick break. 818-985-5735 is our number. 818-985-KPFK. Yeah, phones are lighting up. Figured that might be the case. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more broadcast right after this. I'm Brad Friedman. Don't touch that dial.
Caught in a landslide, no escape from reality. Open your eyes, look up to the skies and see.
All right, welcome back to the broadcast. Brad Friedman from bradblog.com. We're going to get to your calls in one moment. 818-985-5735. The phones are lighting up like crazy. Yes, this is real life. This is not a fantasy. Donald Trump is calling for foreign governments to hack a Secretary of State's email. And He has a he has 10 points more likely to win the presidency, according to 538.com. So why are you voting the way you're voting? Why are you supporting who you're supporting? I'd love to hear from you. 818-985-5735. Let's go to and if you can't get through, you can tweet me. I am the Brad Blog. Love to hear from you there as well. Let's go to Morris in Long Beach. Hey, Morris, welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Hey, Brad, I just wanted to say that you were way ahead of all of us. Let me get out of this place here, Brad. Brad, you were way ahead of all of us. You knew about ESNS. You knew about Diboid. You knew about Sequoia. You knew about all the voting machines. You knew about the coup that was going on while the coup was going on in front of all of us. Remember down in New York when they were told you had to vote, register 6 months in advance to vote for your boy? Remember in California when they called the election the day before the election even took place? Yep. Remember when there was 2 million ballots that weren't even counted? You're calling all this stuff out, Brad. What the heck are we going to do now? I understand that the counties are in charge of your voting machines. If you're going to have them, mm-hmm. if you're not going to have them, there's 3,069 counties. So what do you start protesting the counties? But that's where the problem is, right there. And you've been calling this stuff for, you remind me of Kentucky Fried Chicken. All you sell is chicken, right? All you talk about is the same thing, but it's so damn important. And now I'm beginning to realize it, man. I don't care who's elected or what's going on. If we don't get them voting machines out of here, man, we're all playing games here. You know that, don't you, Brad?
I hear you, brother, and I'm, you know.
I'm too excited about this.
No, you're doing a great job. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm like Kentucky Fried Chicken, but that's okay. We'll sort that out another time, Morris. Thanks for calling in here. Let me get to who are we? Kim in South Pasadena. Hey, Kim, welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, Brad. Good. Thank you for opening the phone lines. I was a staunch Bernie supporter,
mm-hmm.
Who could never support Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton is corrupt, she's deceitful, she's manipulative, she's a warmonger, she's as bad as Trump. Me and all of our other Bernie supporters are moving as fast as we can over to the Green Party to support Jill Stein.
Okay.
Of course. Now, one thing, this whole thing about the email.
Kim, let me hang on, I'll let you get that. Let me just get to a question. So you're good with undoing voting rights for the country, correct?
I'm what?
You're fine if we get rid of voting rights, get rid of the Voting Rights Act.
No, why would you say that?
Well,
I said I'm going to support Jill Stein in the Green Party.
No, I understand that, but I'm saying you said that Hillary was as bad as Donald Trump. Hillary Clinton wants to restore the Voting Rights Act. Donald Trump will not restore the Voting Rights Act. Is that right?
Well,
you're good with that?
No, you're making a big mistake, Brad. You're believing something that comes out of Hillary's mouth.
No, it's not a matter of believing what's out of her mouth, Kim. The Supreme Court struck down the heart of the Voting Rights Act. This is the first election in 50 years where we haven't had the full protection of the Voting Rights Act. Donald Trump has said that he wants to replace the Supreme Court with someone like Antonin Scalia, who struck down the Voting Rights Act. So it has been struck down. It will not be restored unless you can see a Democratic-appointed majority on the Supreme Court. So you're right?
Of course, Brad. I would like to see it restored. I'm somewhat doubtful that Hillary's going to do that, okay?
Okay.
That's the point, okay?
But Donald Trump might, as you see it.
No, I have no idea what his position on that is. I've never heard him speak to that. Donald Trump mm-hmm. is also atrocious. Donald Trump is also atrocious. We have two people, main party candidates, that are absolutely horrible.
Yeah.
It's a shame. So, okay. Now, listen, onto the emails.
Yeah.
The whole thing about a Russian hack is hilarious and absurd. They were hacked by an individual who goes by the name of Guccifer 2.0. And if you Google him, you will see all the hacks he did, mm-hmm. and his annotations about various emails.
Okay.
And he's not Russian, he's Romanian. That's pretty close. But the whole thing of Russian hacking us is total baloney.
Okay, actually, it was, I think you're confusing Guccifer, a hacker, who I believe was Romanian, with Guccifer 2.0, who is believed, at least by U.S. intelligence forces, to be several different people, not a single person. Whether that those people are Russian, the evidence has not yet been fully put forward, but make of that what you will. It is not a single person. And Kim, by the way, you really need to go look at what Donald Trump has said said he is for and against and the type of people he plans to put. We have a vacant seat, you may have noticed, on the U.S. Supreme Court. We're going to have three or four of them open up within the next few years. That will affect this country for generations. And if you don't know what his positions are, please go learn them before deciding who it is you're voting for and against. And I support your right to vote for anybody you want.
I'm voting for Jill Stein.
You mentioned
That's fine. Trump is atrocious. I agree with you.
All right.
Why would I want to know more about him? I want to know more about Jill Stein. Well, attractive in terms of her position.
Very, very good. And we'll see if in the next 100 days she can get the support she needs to become president of the United States. If not, if you're in California, which you think is going to go Democratic, and you want to vote for the Green Party or the Libertarian because it helps them out, I completely understand. But let's just inform ourselves, shall we?
Go, Kim.
Green. Go, yeah,
go green.
That's fine. And go learn what the actual facts are.
You too, Brett.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it. Let me go to Lewis in Los Angeles. Hey, Lewis, welcome to the broadcast.
Hey, man, how's it going?
It's going okay. Turned on your radio, and what's on your mind, my friend?
So, yeah, man, the Supreme Court nominees are a key to this. And, you know, I was totally feeling that last caller, mm-hmm. at least, you know, being in California, we have the luxury of perhaps voting green and not totally but in some of the swing states, that luxury is not afforded to those people in, you know, Ohio, for example.
Yeah.
So that and, you know, as a staunch Bernie supporter, mm-hmm. it's a very bitter pill to swallow to have to vote, you know, being forced to vote for Hillary. I think for her I really hope that she comes out on later this week and just own up to the fact that she's a centrist, that, you know, that, mm-hmm. that she's a centrist that the left side of the party could, you know, negotiate with.
She
kind of like they did in like 68, you know, with, or 64 with President, who was it? Who succeeded JFK?
With Johnson. Okay.
He was a center right.
That's right. And he passed the Voting Rights Act. He passed the Civil Rights Act. His feet were held to the fire. You can hold Hillary Clinton's feet to the fire. Good luck holding Donald Trump's feet to anything.
Exactly.
And that is not an argument, by the way, for Hillary Clinton. It's just an argument of knowing what your facts are and knowing what is actually happening. And it just makes me crazy when I hear people saying, oh, they're both the same. They're not the same. When I hear the corporate media saying, oh, both sides do it. No, both sides don't do it. Lewis, I appreciate your call and your thoughts on all of this. Coming in via the Twitters, a tall glass of H2O says, another Clinton presidency makes me sad. A Trump presidency makes me scared. So there you go. There's that thought. Let me go to who do we go here to? Let's go to Mick in North Hollywood. Hey, Mick, welcome to the broadcast.
Oh, great. Hi. I agree with you a friend of mine's a political science professor, you know, and he's a pretty smart guy. And, you know, I hate Hillary Clinton. I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. Actually, I may be even to the left of Bernie Sanders. But the idea is that because the Supreme Court makes and redefines the laws of the land anymore, it's a constitutional monarchy, that you have to have Hillary Clinton, who I hate. You know she's going to do all that, what they've said that she's going to do. Of course she is. But the idea is that, like you said, that she's going to nominate the Supreme Court who are somewhat progressive and who's going to make the laws of the land. I don't care about Hillary Clinton being in there or not. You know, we have to take the people, like they say, from the grassroots.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to challenge those people, challenge the laws, challenge what she's going to do. And if we have a progressive court, like the Earl Warren Court, we're going to get some progressive laws in the land. And I don't hate her. I'm a Bernie Sanders fan, mm-hmm. even to the left. In fact, Chris Hedges said it, and I'm between Chris Hedges and the people that are practical. He said, you know, it's a time to draw the line in the sand, and I understand. And I sympathize with the other guy, you know, who said he's voting for Jill Stein. But you have to be objective, you know, and you're right. You know, I don't think some of these people do not know either A, the facts, or B, they always go, even whether you're on the left or the right, and I've talked to people on both sides, they always talk from an emotional perspective. They don't verify the facts.
Yep.
They just say, you know, how emotionally they feel about things, and that's not fact, it's just opinion. You know, it's your feelings about things. If you want to have feelings about things, write a novel, you know? but the idea is that, you know, the Supreme Court makes and redefines the law. That's just the bottom line. This is what's happening in this country. They came up with all this stuff. They gutted the Voting Rights Act.
Yep.
They did Citizens United. They took away our privacy rights. You know, Chris Hedges and Professor Cornel West went to court against the NDAA, and they said, well, you haven't got arrested yet, even though the law can make you get arrested without trial or charge. Okay, and they made it, they dismissed it, okay, dismissed their lawsuit.
Yeah.
So the idea is that if that happens again, if Hillary Clinton, nominates a progressive person in the Supreme Court, that we go up there again, they might annul that law. So it's very important to vote for her. I hate her. I'll tell these people, whoever, you know, telling me about vote for Jill Stein or whatever, blah, blah, blah. I don't like her. Of course I don't like her. But that's not the issue. The issue is to vote for the Supreme Court justices. You know, like I said, a friend of mine's a professor.
Yep.
You know, he's to the left of me, okay? But he said, vote for Hillary Clinton. In fact, I will anyway, whether it's California, whether I'm in Ohio or anywhere else. You know I'm going to do it.
Thanks, Mick. I appreciate your call and your thought. I got to run because I got
a. I didn't mean to get a speech.
No, it was good. It was a good speech. I enjoyed it. Thank you. I got a board full of folks, so I want to try to get to as many
as I
can. Thank you, brother. Let's go to Christopher in Los Angeles, who disagrees with Mick, I think. Christopher, welcome to the broadcast. Christopher?
The problem is neoliberalism or neofascism.
Mm-hmm.
In a republic of the United States of America, which kind of shows you what the state of the nation is currently in,
yep.
Which is a very serious thing in the end. And nothing's going to change until a third party rises and challenges the two parties that have basically are running the show.
Really? Now, would you say that to an LGBTQ couple who got married, a gay couple who got married over the past year, that nothing has changed for them?
No, I wouldn't say that at all.
Christopher, would you say? Well, then let me ask you this, Christopher.
I would say congratulations.
Yeah.
And let's keep on moving to make these things happen. More and more and more.
But you said nothing will change unless we get rid of the two-party system, which, by the way,
What I mean by that is it just seems that we keep on getting these crumbs.
Yeah. Well, I, you know what?
After generation. I understand all that, but we're at a point where what is going to happen with our country, like, in the global sphere?
Mm-hmm.
What's going to happen to us, like, in the big picture? That's what I'm worried about.
Okay. Well, I'm also, and I hear you, I'm also worried about, you know, the people who have got cancer over the past year or two, who are now able to actually fight that cancer because 20 million people now have health care insurance that they did not have before. I don't care for the Affordable Care Act, Christopher, but for those 20 million people who did not have access to health care, but who desperately need it.
Single payer universal coverage. I'm all for it. I'm a Bernie Sanders guy to the bone. However, I took the slap in the face rather than the punch in the face, because I knew that was going to come.
Yeah, but you'd rather see. But you're cool. Trump.
I just don't
right.
think that if Trump gets in, I'm not convinced that all of a sudden it's going to turn into this, you know, this fascist clown circus. Basically.
All right. Well, you need to go out and listen to what he is saying, promised, and look at what is in the Republican platform. Yeah.
The guy talks a lot of smack.
Yeah.
I doubt he's going to even get in.
Yeah.
But the whole problem is, you know, dealing with two heads of the same coin, and sometimes they give us a break, sometimes they don't.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, what are we looking for in the future? I mean, how are we going to step up to, you know, other countries that are basically just, you know, making big progress, and we're kind of like, we're supposed to be like the greatest nation.
You feel that somehow Donald Trump will help us make that progress?
I think that he would basically stop progress for a while, but in the meantime, if it was a lame duck a couple of years, we get somebody like maybe Jill Stein and think that the momentum.
Yeah, we don't get. Here's the thing, Christopher, and I love Jill Stein. We had her on the show. She's great, but we don't get her in a few years just because you wish it. And I'm glad that you're in a place that you can afford your health insurance to be taken away, for your voting rights to be taken away, that you'll still be able to survive those 4 years.
I'm not. And the thing about
well, then pay attention.
I also have to vote my conscience. You know, I have to vote my conscience in the end.
And I'll fight for your right to do that, Chris.
And you know what, brother? Power to the people. I will always fight for yours, too. So thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, Christopher. And I really don't mean to cut anyone off, but I got a lot of people on the board that I want to try to get in as many as I can. Let me see. Let's go to Roy in Los Angeles very quickly. Hey, Roy, welcome to the broadcast. What's on your mind, sir?
Hey, Brad, I got two quick statements, and then you can let anybody else say. We got two major problems in this society. We need to get rid of these voting machines. We know they ain't no good.
Right.
We know they're not honest enough to give a fair election, and we need to eliminate that Supreme Court. You understand, we got thugs and no good people on that Supreme Court from the time they put Clarence Thomas in there until the time that man died.
Wait, you want to get rid of the Supreme, you want the third branch of government to go away?
Who put George Bush Jr. in office for the Supreme Court? They wouldn't even count the ballots right. So why keep using the same thing that is messing up society? The Supreme Court is not going to do anything against these Republicans, against these oligarchs, and against these people that has a controlling factor, which is money. Why would you make money the same as people, and we still trying to compete with money?
No, but we're not. What we're trying to do is change that Supreme Court that allowed those decisions to move ahead. And I appreciate what you're talking about is, I guess, changing the Constitution itself to get rid of the Supreme Court somehow. And I'd be interested in your amendment, your move to change the Constitution to do that. I don't think that is right now the issue. We are going to have a Supreme Court for the next 4 years. The question is who controls it? The right-wing madmen like Donald Trump and that now dead liar Antonin Scalia, or someone who has their foot in reality.
Go ahead. Listen at me for a second.
Go.
I got a copy of the original 10 amendments. That is written. I'm going to make sure you get a copy of it.
All right.
I volunteered on it to KPFK. Listen to what I'm saying to you. Until we put a system in that is fair and honest and that will rely, that will give the people of the United States and anybody that is a part of it, give them a fair chance in these elections. And from the mayor to the dog catcher, straight on up to the president, and these courts are not fair.
All right.
You know the courts are not fair.
Oh no, I agree. And I gotta get out. I hear you. I agree. I want to fight to make them fair. And please feel free to email me that that list of amendments.
Bring it down there and put it in your box.
Yeah.
Listen at this. How can the Supreme Court let these lower courts make decisions when they see people are murdered on the streets of this United States and want to override it and give a fair decision. I thank you, Brad.
Thank you, Roy. I appreciate it. If you'd like to get something to me, I am bradcast@bradblog.com. Boy, there's so many people who want to get in. I know. Let's get to James in, Okay, we got to go. James in L.A., welcome to the Bradcast. Very quickly, let's try to get to as many as we can. What's on your mind, sir?
Well, whoever becomes president, this whole country needs to rally whoever we elect as a president. And I didn't want Obama as president, but I didn't riot in the streets. I don't want Hillary, but I'm not rioting in the streets either. Whoever gets elected, this country needs to support that president. And for the last 20 years,
why?
All we've had is Bushes, Clinton, and Obamas.
Yeah.
It's time for change.
Why do we need to support whoever is president? We can't be critical of the president.
Well, if the country speaks, we should back the country and unite the president, whoever that may be.
So you're a big Barack Obama supporter, I'm guessing.
No, I really want Trump. And the reason for it is
You're a big Barack Obama supporter, right? Because the people elected him twice for the past 8 years. So I'm assuming you want everyone else to support Donald Trump. I assume you also support Barack Obama, correct?
Well, when he was president, he is now, I supported him. But now I really want to support Donald Trump and get some change in the White House.
I respect your right to do that, and I will fight for your right to cast that vote as you see fit for Donald Trump. Who do we have time for here? Very good. John Wiener. Okay, John Wiener of the 4 o'clock Report. He was a guest here on KPFK. Follows my shows on the Bradcast on Wednesdays. He was a guest on our show a few weeks ago saying, relax, ignore, Democrats, don't worry. Donald Trump could not possibly win. And now it looks like he's calling to challenge me on what 538.com has found, that Donald Trump is 55% likely to win the presidency. And he's calling in to complain, I guess. John, hey, John Wiener, welcome back to the Bradcast, sir. What did I get wrong?
Hello, Brad. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Yes, I know you are.
I'm preempted today for KPFK special coverage of the convention, but I did want to pick you up on that question of the 538 prediction that came out this morning.
Yeah.
I have to say I'm not as relaxed as I used to be. I'm feeling a little more tense and anxious.
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of us are. But there is a few things that you need to know about those results that Nate Silver himself says.
Okay.
Hillary took a hit of 3 or 4 points because of the FBI finding announcement 2 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
Director James Comey. Then there was a temporary bounce that Trump got from the convention. According to 538, he got about the average bounce of 3 or 4%. If the averages continue and we scientists follow the averages, Hillary will get a similar bounce. His bounce will go down. Eventually her bounce will go down, and they will end up about where they were before, which is Hillary 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 points ahead. One other crucial point. Crucial point is, the polls at this point really are not very good predictors at all of what's going to happen. They did a scientific study of when do the polls become more accurate, and it's not really until the end of August around Labor Day. So we can't get too anxious and too upset about the polls right now. We just have to try to relax for about 3 more weeks.
Well, we've got about 100 days till we'll, in theory, know the answer, John Wiener. That's John Wiener, of course, from not just KPFK, but also from The Nation. You can read his piece. I think it was called, John, wasn't it? Relax, Donald Trump can't possibly win. Relax, Democrats, something like that.
Yes, now we're thinking of retitling it Slightly Anxious and Somewhat Tense.
As well you should be. Thanks for calling in, John. I look forward to seeing you being relaxed and ready to go next week. Thank you, brother.
Thank you, Brad.
All right. Boy, there are a ton of you want to get in. I understand that. Let's do this again very soon, but we got to get to a break right now, don't we? Yeah, we got to get to our latest Green News report. If you want to hang on the line, I'll try to get to you if we got time at the back end. Otherwise, soon, or drop me email, bradcast@bradblog.com, or on the Twitters at TheBradBlog. We're going to take a quick break, and we're back with Desi Doyen to cheer us up with the latest Green News reports. Lively callers, don't you think, Desi Doyen? I wish I could have gotten to more of them. And now your mic is broken, too.
Oh, yes.
There you go.
We've got some. There we go. It's all right. Yes, it's been a very lively day.
I like lively.
Indeed.
Lively is good. I like democracy. I wish we could have gotten more calls, but we will do that again soon. Should we get to it now?
Yes.
Yes, our latest Green News Report.
We are going to lift the restrictions on the production of American energy.
Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump promises to roll back environmental standards.
Donald Trump digs coal.
And promises to bring back dirty coal. Plus,
the rising temps signal growing risks to the Earth's population.
U.S. walloped by deadly heat wave as June 2016 breaks yet another new temperature record.
All of those wallops and more straight ahead. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
Mike Pence is a total global warming denier.
Absolutely.
Also not sure about the link between cigarettes and smoking.
No.
Actually, I think the link between cigarettes and smoking is pretty clear. I think he means the link between cigarettes and cancer. But I hate to nitpick. This is your Green News Report.
Right. Jury's out on that one.
Okay, Desi Doyen, before you get on to your Green News Republican convention wrap, your favorite story of the year, because it's pretty much the only one that isn't horrible.
Well, that's true. The Solar Impulse 2, the world's only 100% solar-powered plane, has landed safely in Abu Dhabi, concluding its historic round-the-world flight powered only by solar energy.
And also concluding our 47th mention of the Solar Impulse 2 over the course of its round-the-world trip.
Until they do another one.
Oh, brother. What else do you have for us today?
Well, innovation was definitely not on the agenda for Donald Trump in his speech accepting the Republican Party's nomination for president last Thursday. Billionaire Trump promised to expand U.S. fossil fuel production and reverse the decline of the U.S. coal industry.
We are going to lift the restrictions on the production of American energy. My opponent wants to put the great miners and the great steelworkers of our country out of work and out of business. That will never happen with Donald J. Trump as president.
Indiana Governor Mike Pence, accepting the Republican nomination for vice president, also promised to bring back the coal industry.
There's a lot of Americans out there who feel like Democrat politicians have taken them for granted. It's union members who don't want a president who promises to put a lot of coal miners and coal companies out of business.
Now, both of the Democratic presidential candidates, Senator Bernie Sanders and now the presumptive nominee, Hillary Clinton, have both proposed transition assistance and economic development funding for coal states, which Republicans have blocked in Congress. Oil billionaire Harold Hamm, a climate science denier who reportedly wants to be Trump's energy secretary,
Jesus,
claimed that we must drill as fast as possible for oil or the terrorists win.
Every time we can't drill a well in America, terrorism is being funded. Climate change isn't our biggest problem. It's Islamic terrorism.
So a bit of a fact check. The United States is already the global leader now in oil and gas production under the Obama administration. So it's false for Republicans to claim that regulations are holding the industry back. The boom in natural gas is what is killing coal in the U.S. So in reality, Trump can't expand both drilling and coal mining. Coal is in decline around the world, and Trump cannot force countries to buy U.S. coal.
It's so unlike Republicans to blame other people for something that isn't true in the least.
What Americans didn't hear during the Republican convention was much talk about climate change or the accelerating intense extreme weather events impacting Americans right now. Global warming, turbocharged extreme weather keeps on coming. In China, weeks and weeks of torrential rain have caused flooding and landslides that have killed at least 150 people and ominously have destroyed nearly 4 million acres of crops. In the Middle East, Kuwait saw a new all-time record for the highest temperature ever recorded in the Eastern Hemisphere, 129 degrees Fahrenheit. If confirmed, it would tie for the all-time highest temperature ever recorded for the planet in Death Valley, California.
129 degrees?
Yep.
The highest temperature ever recorded on the planet.
Yep. And in the U.S., a dangerous and deadly persistent intense heat wave, or heat dome, across multiple states has so far caused 6 heat-related deaths. Finally, NOAA and NASA have announced that June 2016 was the hottest June ever recorded in human history, breaking the previous hottest June record set just last year. June was the 14th straight month in a row to break the monthly temperature record, meaning 2016 is almost certain now to break the record for the hottest year ever recorded. The third year in a row, the record will be broken, which has never happened in human history.
Well, little wonder there was so little talk about climate change at the Republican National Convention, given the amount of heat everywhere in the country right now. But, you know, it's not happening. For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Don't forget you can download our reports anytime via Stitcher, TuneIn, or iTunes. Find us and follow us on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
Oh, it's too hot, too hot, too hot, lady. Gotta run for shelter, gotta run for shade.
It's way too hot. My thanks to our producer, Desi Doyen, and to all of you who spent a portion of your day or night with us. If you missed any portion of today's program, you can download it for free anytime at bradblog.com. My thanks also to all of our callers today, including the ones I couldn't get to, including the one who said I was bullying callers. Thank you. I'm sorry we couldn't get to you. I hear you. It ain't bullying. It's trying to get people to learn what the actual facts are and make an informed decision, no matter who they wish to vote for. And out here in California, you got a lot more leeway than the rest of the country and the rest of the world, who I'm also talking to. All right, my thanks to you. You can drop me an email. I'm bradcast@bradblog.com or on the Twitters or Facebooks at The Brad Blog. We'll be back tomorrow. Until then, I'm Brad Friedman. Good luck, world.